1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And 51551 is our text number. Were you on the Enterprise, the Belfast to Dublin train last night, the 1905, i.e. just after 7 o'clock, were you in Coach D? The train arrived in Dublin because, according to our first caller, there was a pretty nasty incident on the train last night, which has not been dealt with. Prazun Bhattacharjee. Prazun, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're from India. You were with your parents on the train last night. What happened, Prazun?
Actually, one person who was actually in the same coach, he abused us for our skin color, our nationality, and all these things. We felt so bad. But the thing is that all other people in that coach helped us so much. They were so cordial. They told the staff there, but the person stayed there up to Dublin, and actually we are frustrated.
Okay, that's a bad line as well, unfortunately. Prazun, was this man, can you describe the man? Was he standing and did he come up to you, or was he quite close to you? How did the abuse start?
He actually sat beside us suddenly after the boarding, and he was actually up to 5 feet, 10 inches height, and he was white, wearing a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
He actually was drunk, I think. It smelled like that.
Okay. And how long did the racial abuse go on for, Prasun?
He was actually sitting sometime. He was sometimes going somewhere, then again sitting, talking abusive things. It lasted for, I think, 1 hour.
Oh, my God. 1 hour.
Yeah, almost.
And did anyone intervene or anyone come up to you to help?
Yeah, staff has come, but he actually didn't stop. He actually remained there up to Dublin doing this. Why don't you know English? And why have you come here? These people shouldn't come here. These kind of things. We didn't actually interact. We actually remained calm, seated in our place. He started going on and all like this. My parents were actually frustrated.
Yeah. Stay there, Prasun. I know you're traveling around Ireland. You're tourists, and you're now, I'm told, which is obvious from the phone, and you're on the Cliffs of Moher. So be careful there. Peter, good afternoon. Peter, you think you were on that train?
I was, Joe. I was indeed. Yeah, and I felt so embarrassed for the people from India who were on the train. It was really, really awful to have to listen to the tirade of abuse that the couple received. It was really, really embarrassing. In fact, at the end of the journey, we boarded the train in Newry, and shortly afterwards, the gentleman came on the train. And
the abuser
came on the train. Now he was certainly drunk, Joe. There was no question about it. He had a beer can in his hand, and he was just full of abuse. It was really, really terrible.
Age group and any idea where he's from by his accent or whatever?
Look, I wouldn't like to I'd say he might have been from Dublin, and maybe in his late 40s, early 40s, mid to late 40s maybe. But I felt...
And the abuse as described there by Prazun, about their skin, their nationality, their language... Yeah.
That's exactly what it was, and then he started to berate the man and told him to return to his own country, and his colour was, he mentioned his colour, and then he said something about his wife, that you can tell your wife what to do, but you won't tell me what to do, and return to your country. It was just abysmal, Joe.
Were you tempted to intervene?
Joe, look, I sat there listening to it. I thought, will I intervene? Will I not intervene? If I intervene, am I prejudicing myself in terms of getting a whack from a beer can or a box from him or something like that? I mean, it wasn't my duty to step in, but I felt I wanted to step in, but I just didn't do it, Joe. Now, I felt the guards who came, not the guards, the train guards who came, should have done more. You know, maybe just
ejected
the man from the train.
Tell us about the security staff. When did they arrive, or the train staff?
Well, I imagine some other passenger might have called the security guard or called the train guard, but he just came and arrived, but he didn't seem to intervene. He might have he pointed to the gentleman to sit down on the chair, but apart from that, he made no other intervention with regard to his behaviour. And I know it had been said to him that his behaviour was unbecoming.
And how did the man react to this member of the Ian Rod Éireann staff?
He did sit down. He did sit down, and then he tried to engage with this other gentleman. I presume it's Prajan's father.
Okay.
And he did sit quiet for a while, and then he got up, and then he started to boisterously make his way all along the carriage, and then he came back again, and he was on his mobile phone, and with a beer can in one hand and a mobile phone in the other. He was just too boisterous to get involved with. He just couldn't.
You were afraid of him.
I was.
Okay, yeah, and were you, Peter? So would you be one of the people that Prasun mentioned that you were very kind to them afterwards? You went up to them and you said people were very cordial.
People were very cordial, and in fact, as I got off the train, I went over to the gentleman, Prasun's father, and I said, "I apologise on behalf of myself, and I apologise on behalf of everybody on the train for the pure abuse that you had to listen to." And the gentleman shook my hand and said, "Thank you very much," and smiled at me. I was really embarrassed, you know. I really, really was embarrassed to have to listen to it. And I do hope that the gentleman, the abuser, you know, and gets his comeuppance someday in some vein, in some course of action.
On buses now, there's CCTV inside the bus, obviously, and outside. But is there CCTV on trains?
I can if there is, Joe. I got on the train last night, and I could certainly see CCTV on the train. There, and I'm sure he would be easily recognisable from CCTV.
You didn't in his phone conversation, Peter. Obviously, I don't want his full name, but conversation, did he give away his own Christian name? In other words, did he say to someone, "Hang on, this is Mick, or this is Peter, or this is no"?
No. In fact, I didn't quite hear all his mobile phone conversation. It was kind of just loud, and I didn't put much pass on his conversation, Joe. To be honest.
Okay. And how was So you went up to the Prasun and his family when the journey finished, was it, in Dublin?
I did. As we got off the train in Dundalk, and I just went up to the gentleman, and I apologised on behalf of... I was apologising for the Irish people more so than myself, you know, for him to have to listen to that, you know, because the couple were sitting there just doing nothing whatsoever, just sitting enjoying the train journey. And to have to listen to that abuse was
for over an hour. Prasun said they had to endure it.
It started and went on for maybe 10 or 15 minutes, and then he got up, and then he went up the carriage, and then came back down again, and then he tried to make petty conversation with Prasun's father, but the man was having none of it. He wasn't engaging in conversation with him.
And Peter, by the way, you say the staff you felt didn't do enough. Could they? Was there a stop when they arrived? Was there a subsequent stop where he could have been put off? I.e., was there Dundalk or Drogheda? Maybe the train was on the last stretch by the time they arrived.
We got on in Newry, and then the train had two stops. Then obviously it had a stop in Dundalk and then to Drogheda. I would imagine he could easily have been ejected ejected when the train reached Dundalk. Because the steward or the guard on the train was there beside him not all the time, but he could have told him what to do and where to go, or removed him from the area and said, look, you can't behave like that on a train to very civic and polite people who are just doing the
racist abuse is illegal, apart from anything else. It's breaking the law.
Definitely, and I'm sure.
Do you think the staff were aware that he had racially abused the three Indian people?
I'm sure they were. Okay. And I don't know if there's recordings of you know, when you're on a train, if there's CCTV and recording. I don't know whether that's available or not, but it'd be loud recording, you know.
Prasun, were you happy with the way the Ian Rod Éireann staff dealt with this man?
Not absolutely, but it was up to a quite satisfactory level. It's not up to my satisfactory level much, but it was around 50-50. I was happy.
Okay. Let me bring in Pat. Pat, what happened? You intervened.
I was at the anti-Trump demo with a friend last Thursday.
Yeah.
About 7:30 when it was over, I turned from O'Connell Street into Parnell Street, heading towards Garden Street. It had been lashing rain. There was a man about 5 metres in front of us walking in the same direction, heavyset man. He had a woolly hat on, and three youths, they were maybe late teens, 20-ish, were walking towards him, and one of them just reached out, grabbed the hat, and threw it in a puddle.
Right.
And walked on. And I'm very self-controlled. I'm a teacher. I don't lose my temper ever. And I went from naught to mental. So I'll keep the language polite, but it wasn't polite. And I just, what are you doing? And they were saying, what are you doing defending him? You're one of us, as in, I'm Irish, blah, blah, white. And I said, are you off your, pick his hat up. And they wouldn't. The man was very passive. He went, no, leave it alone. He picked the hat up. And the guy starts shouting, come on to me. Now, I'm not a scrapper, but I tell you,
what age was the man they assaulted, effectively, by grabbing his hat?
Technically, I'd say 40s, heavy set, Asian, could have been Pakistani, I don't know, dark skin, black beard,
How did he react, Pat?
He was very passive, and I can't speak for him, but it was almost like, I know how this goes, so he wasn't going to argue, he wasn't going to, I apologised to him afterwards, I said, I'm really sorry that had to happen, he said, oh yeah, and he went off. We went and had a pizza, and I met two other friends who were at the demo, that we just picked up with them afterwards, and I was still jumping from the adrenaline, and I said, I told them what happened, and they said, three guys, one of them taller, thin, they saw the same guys about 4 minutes earlier, shouting awful stuff at a black woman just on the next street, calling her black, The same three guys just walking around looking. There was the one guy, the other two were, didn't take part in this. They didn't stop it either.
And this was in Parnell Street and top of Parnell Street in Dublin.
At about 7:30 last Thursday,
Daylight. It was still
bright. Very bright,
That's two examples of pretty serious racist abuse and attacks on people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Prasoon, I know the line is different. How long more will you spend in Dublin, in Ireland? Thanks, Pat. Prasoon, how long will you spend in Ireland?
Tomorrow only.
Tomorrow, okay.
Tomorrow.
Okay, well, as Peter said, he apologised on behalf of this buffoon, this racist, and we join in that apology as well. You're on the cliffs of Moher now, are you, with your parents?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what's the rest of your itinerary, Prasoon?
It's great to be here.
Ah, okay, good. And enjoy the rest of your trip to Ireland. Is this your first time in Ireland?
First time.
Okay. Prasoon Bhattacharya, thank you indeed, and kind regards to your parents. 5-1, I need to take a break. 5-1-551, joe at rt.ie, and 1850-715-815. Rosie, good afternoon. Just back to, I'll come back to Tom in a second once we get a better line. Rosie, good afternoon. The attack, the racist abuse that Prasoon and his family endured for an hour on the Belfast to Dublin train last night. You were on the dart, was it, Rosie?
No. I want to highlight the lack of security on the public transport.
Well, tell us what happened.
The case I'm referring to was on the dart in Connolly Station. A friend of mine was travelling there on the train with a bicycle. And I think to get the people under 18 get free travel for the month of July. A group of teenagers were behaving very unsociably, and they were blocking passageways, and one of them vomited on the floor and everything else. And when this friend of ours tried to get off the train in Connolly Station, they tried to rob his bicycle. And when he defended himself, he was hit from behind. And he was hit. His ear was actually severed from his head.
Oh my God.
Just at where, the lobe is. And he was really shocked and upset. And he went and reported it, and on the CCTV, the guy who hit him was actually wringing his hand in pain, that they could see him clearly on the CCTV. It was reported to the police, and there was no recourse, but I don't want to continue with that particular case. What I was speaking about was, I spoke to the security man in Connolly Station the next day. I was on my way into town, and I said to him, what's the story with security? He said, I'm the only security man here in the station. And I cited the incident, and he said, he wasn't there. But he said, I said to him, what would you have done? I said, if it was you there, looking at that. And he said, well, there's nothing I could do because he was on his own. You know, and like, you know, even the kids ran off and that did it and ran mm-hmm. onto the red line and they got away. And look, it was, the person has recovered now, even though the person had a terrible shock. Yeah. But it's just a lack of security. I mean, we were coming home with the red line the other evening and there was this fella rooting through people's purses, asking them for one piece, an excuse to kind of see where the money was. Like, there's no security on the dart whatsoever. And these kind of incidents...
Come back to that, Rosie. You see, you're on the dart your evening and there was a stranger rooting through people's handbags saying, has anyone got
anybody got a 1 cent coin or a 2 cent coin? And, like, poor vulnerable women. And when this fella got off the train, he was obviously high on something. The man behind it said he's always on the train and he's actually looking to find out where your money is. Yeah. By asking you for 1 cent coins, because, you know, well, if you're going to root for your money, you're known to have 1 cent coins to hand. So it's just a lack of security on the trains. Like, you never see. And the fact that one man in Connolly Station was on his own.
Yeah.
You know, he came through Connolly yesterday and I looked at the security. There was one security man. He was standing up at a height, looking down at the train. But what use is one man? You know, especially with things that can happen that serious.
But you say, of that incident you spoke about, by the way, it was his hand that damaged the ear so severely.
Oh, well, there was a gang on the train, who, yeah. And when my friend tried to get off the train with his bike, the group of them, one fella tried to grab his bicycle to rob it. But when he tried to defend himself to push the fellow away, a different friend in the group hit him from behind and hit him on the back of his neck. Now, if he'd have been an inch closer to his spine, he could have killed him.
Yes, yes.
And the person's ear was actually severed and had to have it stitched or went to the hospital and everything. Like, to think this is going on the train, there's nobody there to say, are you all right, or trying to do anything about it. He had to go up to the desk himself and say, look, this has happened to me. And they have it there on CCTV. What use is CCTV if there's nobody going to do anything about it?
And nothing came of it.
No, well, nothing came of it.
Apart from a serious injury to that boy.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's just, I'm just highlighting
happened. Yeah, and you've highlighted it well. The one punch fella hit the person you know so hard that his hand recoiled in pain.
Yeah, you could see him coiled up in pain with his hand where he hit him. And then they just ran off onto the red line, Lewis, and there was no more about it. And no follow-up or anything. But that aside is like, okay, you know, that incident happened. But, I mean, this is going to happen again in July again, where they give the free travel again to all these people.
I was unaware of that free travel.
Yeah, they allow the youngsters under 18 or under 23, I don't know, free travel for the whole month of July. It was during the really warm weather last year. And, like, I suppose it's to let them have access to the town or to the beaches and things like that, which is all very nice.
Okay, well, that's news to me. Yeah. Okay. We'll check that out.
But it's not being policed. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they come out to the beaches out in the north side. You want to see the carry on of them. You know, it's just nobody's policing any of this. People are getting hurt. And in that particular case, could have got killed.
Okay. Rosie, thanks for alerting us to that. That's Rosie. 51551, back after this.